All right, everyone, get ready because today we're going to take a deep dive into the world of lymphoma.
Sounds good.
We've got this really interesting case study from the Australian Journal of General Practice.
Okay.
Plus, we've got some great articles from Medicine Today to help us out, too.
Yeah, they're good articles.
So we're going to try to understand what lymphoma is, how it's diagnosed, and what the treatment's all about.
Okay.
And this case study is about a speed skater, which I think is really cool.
Yeah, very interesting case.
So where should we start?
Well, I think it might be useful to start by defining lymphadenopathy.
Okay, lymphadenopathy. That's a big word.
Yeah, it sounds a bit scary, but it really just means enlarged lymph nodes.
Okay, so like when you have a cold or something and your glands are swollen,
Exactly. It's
perhaps.
actually very common. And most of the time, it's nothing to worry about. Only about 1% of cases turn out to be malignant.
Oh, wow. So only 1% are actually cancerous.
That's right.
So how do doctors figure out if it's something serious or not?
Well, the Medicine Today articles outline a really clear approach.
Okay.
They break it down into history, examination, and investigation.
So they take a thorough history, ask about symptoms.
Exactly. And they'll examine the lymph nodes themselves, feel them, see if they're hard or fixed, or if they're bigger than 2.5 centimeters.
And I guess if they find anything suspicious, then they do a biopsy.
Exactly. A biopsy is usually necessary if there are signs that it could be cancer.
That makes sense. So we've talked about lymphadenopathy, which can sometimes be a sign of lymphoma. But what exactly is lymphoma?
Well, lymphoma is a type of cancer that affects the lymphatic system.
And the lymphatic system is part of the immune system, right?
Exactly. It's a network of vessels and nodes that helps your body fight off infection and disease.
So it's like our internal defense system.
That's a great way to put it. And lymphoma basically disrupts that defense system.
Okay, I see. So there are different types of lymphoma, right?
Yes. There are two main categories, Hodgkin's lymphoma and non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, or NHL for short.
And NHL is much more common in Australia, right?
That's right. It's actually the sixth most common cancer in men and the fifth in women in Australia.
Wow, those are some pretty scary statistics.
Yeah, it's definitely a significant health concern.
So let's talk about that speed skater case study now.
Sure. This case involved a 59-year-old man who went to his GP with a rapidly growing lump in his lower abdomen.
And they didn't do a biopsy right away, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, that's because the lump was growing so quickly. They were worried that doing a biopsy could actually spread the cancer cells.
Oh, wow. So it was too risky.
Exactly. They don't want to take any chances. So instead, they did imaging scans like an ultrasound and an MRI.
And what did those scans show?
Well, they showed that the lesion had grown 14 millimeters in just 10 days.
10 days? That's incredibly fast.
It is. It's very aggressive growth. So they decided to surgically remove the entire mass.
To be safe.
Exactly. And the pathology confirmed that it was diffuse large B-cell lymphoma with an activated B-cell phenotype.
Okay, that's a mouthful. What does all that mean?
So diffuse means that the lymphoma cells were spread throughout the lymph node rather than being clustered in one spot. Large B-cell refers to the type of white blood cell that the lymphoma came from. And the activated B-cell phenotype tells us about the specific characteristics of these lymphoma cells.
Okay, so it's like a detailed description of the lymphoma.
Exactly.
And this patient also had rheumatoid arthritis and was taking methotrexate.
Yes, that's right.
So could there be a connection between his lymphoma and the medication?
That's a good question. There have been studies linking methotrexate to a type of lymphoma called cutaneous B-cell lymphoma.
Okay.
But in those cases, the lymphoma usually affects the skin. And our speed skater's lymphoma was in his abdomen.
Right.
And his lymphoma didn't involve the Epstein-Barr virus, which is often involved in methotrexate-related lymphomas.
I see.
So while it's something to consider, we can't say for sure if there's a direct link in this case.
Okay, so it remains a bit of a mystery.
You could say that,
Yeah.
but it does highlight the importance of considering a patient's full medical history.
Absolutely. So what happened next? What was the treatment for this patient?
After the surgery, he underwent chemotherapy with a regimen called RCHOP.
RCHL.
It's a combination of drugs that targets DLBCL.
And what does RCHOP stand for?
It stands for rituximab, cyclophosphamide, doxorubicin, vincristine, and prednisone.
Wow, that's a lot of drugs.
Each drug attacks the cancer cells in a different way. And together, they're very effective.
And how did the speed skater respond to the treatment?
He did amazingly well. He actually achieved complete remission.
Wow, so there's no sign of lymphoma now.
That's right. And he was able to go back to work and even start training again.
That's incredible. It's like he's made a full recovery.
He's doing very well.
That's fantastic. So it sounds like early detection and the right treatment can really make a difference.
Absolutely.
This case is really inspiring.
It is. It shows that there's hope, even with aggressive lymphoma.
Well said.
And it highlights the importance of a multidisciplinary approach.
What do you mean by that?
I mean that it takes a team of specialists to provide the best care. Surgeons, oncologists, pathologists, radiologists, nurses, they all play a vital role.
So it's like a team effort.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Everyone working together to achieve the best possible outcome for the patient.
That makes a lot of sense. So we've talked about DLBCL, but I know there are other types of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma.
That's right. There's a whole range of subtypes, each with its own characteristics and challenges.
Like what?
Well, there's follicular lymphoma, chronic lymphocytic, leukemia, mantle cell lymphoma, Burkitt lymphoma.
Wow, there's a lot of them.
There is. And they can behave very differently. Some are slow growing, while others are very aggressive.
So the treatment would vary depending on the type.
Exactly.
So let's say I'm a patient who's just been diagnosed with lymphoma. What happens next?
Well, the first step is confirming the diagnosis and figuring out the specific type of lymphoma.
And that usually involves a biopsy.
Right. Then comes staging.
Staging.
Yes.
Yeah.
That means figuring out the extent of the lymphoma. How far it spread.
So like how advanced it is?
Exactly.
Yeah.
They'll usually do imaging scans like CT scans or PET scans and sometimes a bone marrow biopsy.
To get a complete picture.
Yes. And this information helps them decide on the best treatment plan.
So what are the treatment options?
Well, there are a lot of different options. And the choice depends on several factors. The type of lymphoma, the stage, the patient's overall health, their preferences.
So it's not a one-size-fits-all approach?
Not at all. It's very individualized.
So what are some of the common treatments?
Well, we've already talked about RCHOP, which is often used for aggressive lymphomas.
Right.
But there are other chemotherapy regimens like CHOP and CVP.
And then what about radiation therapy?
That's another option. It uses high-energy rays to kill cancer cells.
And I've also heard about bone marrow transplantation and CAR T-cell therapy.
Those are more advanced treatments, often reserved for cases where conventional treatments haven't worked, or for certain types of lymphoma that are difficult to treat.
So they're like the big guns?
You could say that.
So bone marrow transplantation involves replacing damaged bone marrow with healthy stem cells.
Exactly. It's like rebooting the immune system.
And allo T-cell therapy is where they modify a patient's own T-cells to target and destroy cancer cells.
Yes. It's a very exciting new approach.
It sounds like science fiction.
It does. But it's becoming a reality. And it's showing great promise for certain types of lymphoma.
So it seems like the landscape of lymphoma treatment is constantly evolving.
It is. There's a lot of research going on. And new and better treatments are being developed all the time.
That's great to hear.
Yeah.
So in the speed skater's case, they found some abnormalities in his lung during a follow-up scan.
Oh, yes. That's right. They found two areas in his left lung that showed increased metabolic activity.
And that could be a sign of lymphoma?
It could be. But it could also be inflammation or infection.
So how do they know for
sure? Well, they err on the side of caution and started him on chemotherapy.
Just to be safe.
Exactly. And he responded very well. The subsequent scans showed no evidence of lymphoma.
That's good to hear.
Yes, he's doing very well.
So this brings us back to the connection between methotrexate and lymphoma. I know we talked about it earlier, but I'm still curious about the potential risks and benefits of this medication.
Sure. It's an important topic.
Yeah.
Methotrexate is a very effective drug for treating rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune diseases.
But it can also increase the risk of lymphoma.
Yes, although the overall risk is still quite low.
So it's a balancing act.
You could say that doctors have to weigh the benefits of controlling the autoimmune disease against the potential risk of lymphoma.
So how do they make that decision?
They take a personalized approach. They consider the patient's individual risk factors, like their age, their family history, any other medical conditions.
And they monitor the patient closely?
Exactly. They watch for any signs or symptoms that might suggest lymphoma.
Like what?
Things like enlarged lymph nodes, unexplained weight loss, persistent fatigue, night sweats.
Okay, so it's all about careful monitoring and open communication between the doctor and the patient.
Absolutely. Patients should feel comfortable discussing any concerns they have with their doctor.
It sounds like medical decision-making can be really complex.
It can be. There are a lot of factors to consider.
Especially when you're dealing with a powerful drug like methotrexate.
Right. It's important to weigh the potential risks and benefits carefully.
And to have a good relationship with your doctor.
Definitely. Open communication and shared decision-making are essential.
Well said.
And personalized care is also crucial.
So are there any genetic or biological markers that can help predict how a patient might respond to treatment?
Yes. There's a marker called Ki-67, which measures the percentage of lymphoma cells that are actively dividing.
So it tells you how fast the lymphoma is growing.
Exactly. And a high Ki-67 index generally means a more aggressive lymphoma.
Like in the speed skater's case.
Yes. And this information can help guide treatment decisions.
So a higher Ki-67 might mean more aggressive treatment.
That's right.
It's amazing how much we're learning about lymphoma all the time.
It is. Science is constantly uncovering new insights.
And that's leading to better treatments and better outcomes for patients.
Exactly.
This whole discussion has been incredibly informative.
I'm glad to hear that.
I feel like I've learned so much about lymphoma.
It's a complex topic, but I hope we've made it a bit easier to understand.
You definitely have. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise.
You're very welcome.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into lymphoma. We'll be back soon with more insights and information.
Sounds good.
Until then, stay curious and stay healthy.
Great advice.
So we've been talking a lot about the science of lymphoma, you know, the different types, the staging, the treatments. But I'm also curious about the human side of things.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What's it actually like for patients and their families to go through this, you know, to grapple with a lymphoma diagnosis?
It's a huge impact. It's a big thing to deal with.
Right. It's not just about the biology. It's about the emotional and psychological toll as well.
Exactly. It affects every aspect of your life.
So what are some of the common emotions that people might experience after they're diagnosed?
Well, everyone's different, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I see a lot of shock, a lot of fear, anxiety.
Yeah, makes sense.
It's a scary thing to hear. There's also sadness, anger, sometimes mm-hmm. even guilt.
Wow. It's a whole mix of emotions.
It really is. It's a lot to process.
It's like your whole world suddenly changes.
Yeah, you're faced with this unknown and potentially life-threatening disease.
And it's not just the initial diagnosis, right? It's the whole journey.
Exactly. The treatment, the side effects, the uncertainty.
Yeah.
It can be very overwhelming.
And even after you achieve remission, there's always that fear that it might come back.
Absolutely. The fear of recurrence is a big thing for many patients.
So what can people do to cope with all of this?
Well, having a strong support network is crucial.
Like family and friends?
Yes. And support groups, therapists, other mental health professionals. It's so important to have people to talk to, people who understand what you're going through.
And what about the role of the healthcare team?
They play a vital role too. They need to be empathetic, compassionate.
Good listeners.
So it's not just about treating the disease, it's about treating the whole person.
Exactly. It's about providing emotional support as well as medical care. And sometimes just a kind word or a reassuring touch can make all the difference.
Absolutely. Those small gestures can mean a lot.
I'm also curious about the practical side of things. How does lymphoma affect a patient's daily life?
Well, it can be quite disruptive.
In what ways?
Well, fatigue is a common side effect of treatment.
Right.
And that can make it difficult to work or do the things you enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Some patients might experience hair loss or other physical changes that affect their body image.
And then there's the financial burden of treatment.
Yes, that's another major challenge.
Yeah.
The cost of medications, doctor's visits, tests, it can all add up very quickly.
So it's important to talk about these practical issues and to seek out support services.
Absolutely. There are organizations like Lymphoma Australia that can provide information about financial assistance, transportation, other support systems.
So they can help with the logistical side of things.
Exactly. And they can also connect patients with others who are going through similar experiences.
That's so important to know that you're not alone.
It is. That sense of community can be very powerful.
So we've talked about the emotional impact, the practical challenges, but what about the long-term outlook?
Well, that really depends on a number of factors. The type of lymphoma, the stage fourth, the patient's overall health, how they respond to treatment.
So there's no easy answer.
No, unfortunately not. But I can say that there's always hope.
Always.
With advances in research and new treatments emerging all the time, the outlook for lymphoma patients is constantly improving.
That's good to hear. So even though it's a serious disease,
yes,
there's reason to be optimistic.
Absolutely.
This has been such an eye-opening conversation. I feel like I've gained a much deeper understanding of lymphoma.
I'm glad to hear that.
Not just the science, but the human side of it as well.
That's what's most important.
And I think that's what our listeners will appreciate too.
I hope so.
So thank you again for sharing your expertise.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive into lymphoma. We'll be back soon with more insights and information. Until then, stay curious, stay informed, and most importantly, stay hopeful.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
You know, as we've been talking about all this, I keep thinking about that speed skater.
Yeah.
And I wonder, like, what was going through his mind, you know, when he first got that diagnosis.
It must have been really tough.
Right. I mean, it's one thing to talk about lymphoma in the abstract.
Yeah.
But it's another thing entirely to actually be facing it yourself.
Definitely.
And it's not just the patient either. It's their family, too.
Absolutely. Everyone's affected.
So what kind of support is available for people who are going through this?
Well, there are a lot of resources out there.
Mm.
Support groups, counseling services,
okay.
financial assistance programs, transportation,
mm.
Help Lymphoma. Australia is a great organization. They have a lot of information and resources on their website.
That's good to know, because I imagine it can be pretty overwhelming.
Oh, yeah, definitely. There's so much to think about. The treatment, the side effects, the financial burden.
Right. It's a lot to handle.
And then there's the emotional side of things, too. The fear, the anxiety, the uncertainty.
And the whole process can take a long time.
It can. Some people are in treatment for months or even years.
So it's a real marathon.
It is.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot of strength and resilience.
And support.
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Support from loved ones, from the healthcare team, from the community.
It really does take a village.
It does. And I think that's one of the most important messages to get across to people who are facing this challenge.
That they're not alone.
Exactly. There are people who care. There are people who want to help.
And there's hope.
Always.
Even with a diagnosis as serious as lymphoma.
Yes. Advances in research are being made all the time. New treatments are being developed.
That's encouraging.
It is. And survival rates are improving.
So there's definitely reason to be optimistic.
Absolutely.
Well, this has been an incredibly informative deep dive.
I agree. We've covered a lot of ground.
We've talked about the science, the treatments, the challenges, the support systems.
The human side of it.
Exactly. And yeah. I think it's that human element that's really important for people to hear.
I agree. It's not just about the facts and figures.
Right.
It's about the people who are living with this disease.
And their stories.
Their stories of courage, resilience, and hope.
Well said.
So I just want to say to anyone out there who's listening, who's been diagnosed with lymphoma or who knows someone who has, you're not alone. There's help available. And there's always reason to hope.
That's a great message to end on. Thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us.
My pleasure.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us on this journey into the world of lymphoma. We hope you found it informative and empowering. Until next time, stay curious, stay informed, and stay strong.